Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back with you again this week. Sorry for missing last week. I've had some problems with my health, but God helps us to persevere. And yes, he does actually answer prayers, as you and I know. We might not like the answers, but he always answers our prayers. So I'm grateful to God to be back this week. A lot to talk about. We're going to get into the book of Ruth, which is a twin book with the book of Judges. The book of Judges, What's Wrong With You People? 50 sermons we did to break down and to document spiritually, sociologically, economically, all those good things. What happens when a society collapses, especially those who claim the name of God? And what happens to us today in America, in a nation that, regardless of how it was founded, the majority of people here were Christian of some denomination or other. People honored the moral law, what philosophers screwed up many times. They had some of the God's moral law and what they call natural law. But the ultimate judge, the arbiter of all things, is the Bible. It's philosophically perfect. When it comes to law, it's perfect, and it got it right. And the Ten Commandments need to be honored by all mankind if you want to have a prosperous existence. You cannot last without it, especially not God's people. Now, it doesn't mean we are not sinners. We're not under the law when it comes to being saved. The Lord Jesus Christ saves us. But how are we to live once we become Christians and by extension our families or our nation? So things that are banned by the Ten Commandments, even when a nation that does not declare themselves Christian, when they follow it, they do better. And when they follow God's word and commands, this is what Paul speaks about in the book of Romans. But today we've abandoned that. So the big question for you and I, who have not lived through a societal collapse or values like we see today, constant lies, everything completely inverted, we're in a downtime. So how do we make it, and how do our families make it? And that's the subject of this next sermon series. So the book of Judges explains God's judgment and collapse when it comes to a nation. The book of Ruth explains how we survive it. So we're going to get into that today. And to remind you that God is true, let every man be a liar, and to trust the Bible and logic and reason and the mind that God gave you. I warned you about the vaccines. I am not a conspiracy theorist. I never said that there was no type of sickness people were getting when it came to corona or COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. And I never said that anyone should never take a vaccine. Like I said, if you're bit by an animal and the animal had rabies, you will die. You must run and get the rabies vaccination right away. And there are a couple other vaccinations that are beneficial. But this one, the science was unproven. So just to let you know, our president, Joseph Biden, had both COVID shots and the boosters. So he's had 4 shots, and he now has COVID. Even better, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who, like Joe Biden, was saying that if you get the vaccine, you will not get the virus. He's also had 4 shots. He missed his daughter's wedding recently because he came down with COVID. And then the best, the coup de grace, as one of my friends used to say, Dr. Birx came out with a book. She was in charge with Dr. Fauci with the pandemic response when President Trump was in office. And you should really take a look at what has come out in her book. She has said that they over-exaggerated with the vaccines, and she knew in advance that they didn't really work. So she basically, as they say proverbially, threw everyone under the bus, including Dr. Fauci and the United States government itself. Dr. Birx also admitted to changing COVID reports on the fly when it came to the effectiveness of the vaccine. So these are not my words. This has been documented even by liberal newspapers and channels. I guess everyone is trying now not to be either, you know, hung or sued. So we trust God. We trust our reason. Evangelicals do not need to be brain dead once they confess Christ. We do not have just an emotional religion. As a matter of fact, when it comes to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, emotions come last. The heart, the mind, the soul come first. And we've screwed that up. And our charismatic friends, many of them whom I love, have completely messed this up. They are emotional wrecks, and they can't think clearly. So we need to be responsible Christians again, educated. We need to know what it is to think logically, how to tell truths from falsehoods. And that's what the whole point of this ministry is. So it's great to be online with you again this week. Let us pray, and we'll get into our sermon. Almighty God, the great and living God, we thank you, Lord, that we can be here this week. I ask, Lord, that you would continue to uphold me for this sermon and my health. I pray, Lord, more importantly than my physical health, is that you would keep my speech pure, that I would only speak things that glorify you, that I would not please men or women, but that I would please you, Lord. And we pray that through studying your word, we get these strategies for survival. You know, Lord, myself included, many of us are bewildered at times. How do we make it in a nation that's collapsing like this? And we know, Lord, that we can go to your word, and we trust you for your guidance, because you are a good father. And we ask this, Lord, in the name of your son, our only king, Jesus Christ. Amen. So you can open up with me to the book of Ruth. Again, we're going to go verse by verse so you understand the story. I want you to grasp it. We have an historical account of how a family line was preserved in the worst circumstances. So today we'll be reading the book of Ruth, only verses 1 through 5, and we'll be getting a handle on just how bad this situation was. So the title for today's sermon, you know, I'm honest with the Lord, and I'm honest with myself and with you. Really simple titles. How can the Lord fix this? Oh, I just hurt myself. How can the Lord fix this? That's the title of the sermon. And I know you have said it many times, whether you want to admit it or not. I'll admit it. I've said it many times in my life with things I've been through or things that I've screwed up myself. How can the Lord fix this? So this is Ruth and Covenant Survival Part 1. This will be another sermon series that you can listen to sermon after sermon and go through the whole book at your leisure. And we'll have the PDF up today. So how can the Lord fix this? What's going on in the book of Ruth? Wonderful book, extremely entertaining. Will give you what gave me anxiety as I was reading it. How is God going to fix this situation? I remember when I first read it. But so we understand what's going on in the book of Ruth. Point number one, as I put in the outline, the book of Ruth and Judges are twin books. They go together. It's like Jonah and Nahum or Nahum. Jonah appeals to the Ninevites. They repent. About 120 years later, Nahum comes when the Ninevites get back to their old ways, and God smashes them and destroys them. So they had a reprieve of 100 years or so, and then Nahum comes and warns them that they will be destroyed because they backslid and no longer took the Lord of heaven seriously. So Jonah and Nahum go together, and Judges and Ruth go together. So you read the book of Judges, you see the historical climate, what a complete disaster it was. A nation that was once faithful, collapsing, and going through these cycles of sin and deliverance, just like the United States of America is going through today, which is an Anglo child of the British Empire. All the former lands of the British Empire going through this. The British Empire is the Anglo-Saxon style countries are exchanging their God for a pagan God, and everything else is collapsing around it. And we need to know how to survive. We had so many freedoms, so many advantages and blessings, but they're leaving us. So what do you and I do? So we see this from the book of Ruth. So the book of Judges describes the collapse and judgment of the Hebrew nation. The book of Ruth illustrates how the faithful survive during the collapse. So we're going to get real answers in these coming weeks and get in depth on what do you and I do to apply the word. All of it's practical. We can do some things every day as the Lord preserves us through this time. So a complete disaster, as my Orthodox friends would chant, Oy gevolt, when things are going very bad, which means, you know, disaster. So let's get into the book. You should have the book of Ruth open. I'm watching you. So the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The first verse opens up the whole book. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, so I'm not lying, this happened during the book of Judges, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So we get into it right away. So they leave because it's a famine. We know the book of Judges. The nation was a complete train wreck, and they were going through worse than what we're going through now. Much of the rest of the world is feeling it, the famine, the food prices. We had Sri Lanka collapse. Other countries will. So that's judgment. The food is taken away. So they leave, and they go into a foreign land. Now, what's the big deal about Moab? Well, I'll explain it to you. Because if you don't have the historical background of Moab, you won't understand what a tough situation this is. So God has to preserve this family through all of these disasters. First, they leave their homeland looking for food. So now they're removed from the land. And now we're going to see more things happen where you'll say to yourself, this family is never going to make it. Hence the title of today's sermon, How Can the Lord Fix This? But the Lord can do what he wants and fulfill his will. So the second point, as we work through verses 2 through 4, we see that they leave. They're in the land of Moab. So it's already bad. Now, just when you thought it couldn't get worse, and the name of the man was Elimelech, or Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So this is the situation we're in. So they're in the land, and now it gets even worse. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. So not only do they leave the land, but the boys, who are now men who should know better, they marry non-Israelite women, and we'll explain the problem with this. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. So the men leave, they leave their land, they do what they're not supposed to, they marry women. Now, what was the problem with marrying Moabite women? What was the problem with going into Moab, even though relations seem to be friendly at this time? Well, you need some Bible history, which I'll give you. So the situation cannot have been worse for a family's covenantal survival. Covenant survival means the contract that God makes with us as believers that he'll continue our family line. Most important, spiritually, not just physically. So that's the covenant. God made a real agreement with you. This is not just an emotional thing. This is written in blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's very serious. So when you reject that covenant, all the curses come upon you, and when you repent and when you need to and stay in a relationship with God and through the Lord Jesus Christ and his power, you're blessed. So they're early on breaking the covenant with God. So firstly, Naomi's family takes refuge in the land of Moab. It's bad enough. Secondly, Moabites were idolaters and sexually perverted. Okay, their nation was born of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughters. I like to work backwards sometimes. So you're going to need these two texts to go over it with me. First, we're going to look at Numbers 25. So you could turn to Numbers 25, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. This will sum up the problem with this Moab, this Moabite nation. What's the big deal? Well, in Numbers 25, we have a little narrative of what happened with the Israelites and Moab, what the problem was. So let's read it together. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. So you already see, these young men marrying these women was not a good thing. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, so they're pagans. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined themselves unto Baal Peor. Whenever you see the word Baal, which literally means master, that's a bad thing. Baal worship, whatever else is involved with it, you are declaring a pagan god to be master and not the Lord. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. Big problem, big mistake these boys made and who they picked to marry. And it's in their history of how bad this group was. To make it even worse, what was their origin? Where did this group come from? For that, you have to go back to Genesis 19. So we see Moabite practices were horrendous. We're going to see where the name Moab originated. Where did this nation come from that tempted and challenged Israel? Well, it has something to do with Lot and his daughters. So you should know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the judgment that befell them because of the insane perversion like we have today, monkeypox and all, and sodomy and all of that stuff. So God had to destroy them. He gave them a chance to repent. If there were only 10 men he could find in the entire city, he would have spared it. He couldn't find 10 men. Couldn't even find, as our Jewish friends would say, a minion in the city. So there was no remnant. So God destroys it. Lot has to flee with his family. His wife looks back. Remember, as they say, you know, you could take someone out of the environment, but you can't always take the environment out of the person. Lot's wife looks back. She has longings for her old home. It did corrupt her. The Apostle Paul warns us against being in corrupt environments and being around corrupt people. They'll eventually rub off on you. So Lot's wife dies because she looks back and has a yearning for the old land. So God kills her. Now, when it comes to the daughters and their father escape. And we're going to see that these girls think, you know, their whole home was just destroyed in a cataclysm, something you would see in one of these end of the world movies. So they think the world's ended pretty much. And so what are they going to do to continue their family line? Well, instead of trusting God, they did something pretty disgusting. And that's why we never break God's law. So let's read the narrative so you understand the origin of Moab. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters were with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. One of the creepiest, most disgusting stories in the Bible. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with the father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that he may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him. And he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. That's where Ruth's family sojourned into. That's why it's a problem. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ami. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So big trouble. Big trouble. Bad choices. Okay. So sin complicates things. So here we have, they take refuge in this nation. How is the Lord going to fix this? Now, as if that's not bad enough, they leave their land, they take refuge with pagans. Their sons take on non-Hebrew wives. As bad as it could get. You left the covenant land, now you're wrecking the covenant for the family, the contract with God. And just when you thought it couldn't get worse, we look at Ruth, verse 5, and we're told, and Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now, if I didn't read it in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. You can't make this up. All the covenant heads of the family die. All the men that carry the name, all the men that give their wives insurance to have a life where they have enough to eat and they can walk around happy with a family name. And as they have children, their family line will be continued and they'll be honored by their children. All these good things gone. All the men die. Obviously, a judgment from God. So Naomi goes into the land with her husband. Two sons are with them in the land. Her husband dies and the sons die. So you have Naomi, the mother, and you have the two daughter-in-laws, one of them, which is Ruth. And they're all without a husband now, without a name, without a covenant head. And this is the situation as it starts. And we'll again go through this slowly. I want you to understand the story so you can see how bad of a situation God can bring us out of. When there's judgment on the nation and even on your own family, if you remain faithful, God will make a way. And that's our message for today. So how can the Lord fix this? Ruth and Covenant Survival, Part 1. Now we'll read a text where Jesus promises us that he will not lose us. And then we'll conclude our sermon. That's John chapter 6, verses 35 through 40. We have a guarantee from the Lord Jesus Christ himself that he will not lose those whom the Father gave him to take care of, to be in covenant with. We're in covenant with the Father through Christ. We have this contract. We love our Lord no matter what. We have faith in him. We want to honor him as our king and follow the things that he directs us to do. And in return, he will bless us with eternal life. And he'll sustain us through this life. He won't lose us. So what does Jesus say? And we know that Jesus Christ cannot lie. John chapter 6, the Gospel of John, verses 35 through 40. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, that's you and I. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. Regardless of what we're going through in this life right now, regardless of what we'll go through in the future, God has answers for us, not just spiritual answers, for our physical well-being also. So we'll continue in this sermon series next week. Again, the PDF will be up. You can follow along with it. PDF is the what I type will be on. You click on the PDF button on sermon audio when you go to see the sermon. And spread the links, spread the news, and spread the good news of the gospel. God bless every one of you. Be safe. Be faithful. I pray grace and peace upon you until we meet again next week. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can worship in peace and safety in this land still. We repent, Lord, for our sins and thought, word, and deed that we committed during the week. We want to be in a right relationship with you, Lord, and be faithful to the covenant that you've made with us. And we want to call on your name when we need you and be brought back into focus and serve you. So we ask, Lord, that you guide us this week. Keep us safe until we meet as your people again next week. And we always ask this in the name of our great King, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Be well.